Jesus. What a name. What a name. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
So this morning we cover the greatest mystery, the greatest miracle, the greatest fact in this universe. And that is God the Spirit and our human spirit was joined, conjoined, and mingled to become one spirit, by which today we can live, in which we can walk, and through which we can have our being, both personally and also corporately, and thus fulfilling God's great economy to gain a people, in fact, a house, a church, a body for himself as his real enlargement and expression. That's how it happens. It all takes place through this mingled spirit. Without this, the human life is vain. Without this, our church life, even in the recovery, is empty. Without this, even our Christian existence has no meaning. Everything is in this spirit, and everything has to do with this spirit, and therefore there's this burden. We need a return. We need a rediscovery. We need a revival. To come back to live in this way and walk in this way and forget about everything else. Everything will take care of themselves if we take care of this. And that is moment by moment, day by day, minute by minute, literally. And of course, all this comes only from practice. Life is about practice. Life is about building habits, good habits. And so it is by this that we can really be the testimony of Jesus today in reality, shining golden lampstand in our respective localities and cities. There's going to be a new church in Folsom, right? We're the Folsom people. We don't have any. Oh, there's one at least, right? Some of them didn't come, right? Oh, there's a few there. Oh. Is anyone from Chico here? No one from Chico, a little too far, maybe. Oh, there's one. Okay. At least one representative. How about down in Morgan Hill? Also a little too far. Well, I'll tell you, in these days, my pet burden is Reno, Nevada.
Hallelujah!
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen.
And I mean it. And I mean it. I can count with three fingers how many times I've been to Nevada. But somehow I got the bug, and I believe the Lord is going to do something in Reno. But the only way is by the Spirit.
Amen.
Start the church life with the Spirit and continue in the Spirit.
Amen.
More Spirit in every way. Now, this meeting, we must come to that greatest practice, that greatest living practice, that grandest habit of all habits, spiritual habits, there is, bar none. And that is calling on the Lord.
Amen.
Calling on the name of the Lord. Now let me just say this again. The undergirding burden for this perfecting training is really two things. Really two things. Number one, to bring all the saints back to the experience of life. And the two parts, and the exercise of our spirit. That's it. These are the two things. I want to bring the churches in Northern California to focus on these two things. And I don't mean we don't need to read the Bible. I don't mean we don't need to know the truth. But that is not the most desperate thing right now. This is the most desperate thing. That all the saints will be experiencing life, the divine life. And all the saints will be very, very deliberate to exercise their spirit. So life and spirit is the burden. And that was the burden when our dear brother came to this country. And that's how the Lord's recovery was kicked off by life and by the spirit. And somewhere along the line, that these things are a bit, has a bit faded. Or it is not as prevailing as it should be. So there needs to be a revival. There needs to be a revival. And you're here in this training, not just to listen to these messages. You got a job to do in your life and in your church life, and that is to practice. Practice consciously and deliberately these things. Pursue the experience of life and pursue the exercise of your spirit. So now I come on to this matter, this huge matter, the top practice of God's saints in both the Old and the New Testament. And that is for man to call upon God. So I'm going to run through this matter very, very quickly, this whole matter. And then I have this whole laminated blue sheet that you have on calling on the name of the Lord, and I will highlight some of those verses. Before I do that, you have the other laminate, that is the green one, which I have no time to get to, and this is my spirit. And put it on your shower, because in the shower you have nothing to do, right? So put it, tape it on, use some waterproof tape and tape it there. So whenever you shower, you are looking at my spirit. Huh? I hope you will have time to get into every one of these verses. These are selected. The all the verses that have to do with our human spirit. What an organ. What a faculty. What a provision by God, so that we can contact him and receive him and contain him. I hope you would do that. This is a gift, a waterproof gift, huh? All right. Now, I don't even know where to begin. I'm already crazy. I'm crazy. Okay, calling on the name of the Lord, brothers. Okay, please wipe away all your prior knowledge. I know this. I've been doing it for years. Get ready to be refreshed. This is a practice. This is a practice of the godly saints, both in the Old and the New Testament. And it started a long time ago. All right? A long time ago, back to the Adamic days. Okay, I'm going to just run through this whole matter very, very quickly. So, who are the people who call on the Lord in those old days? Number one, you got Enosh. He's the guy who started it all. At the time, men began to call upon the name of Jehovah. And you got to read this famous footnote there that tells you the meaning of the name Enosh. That means frail. You know, when men, it didn't take two or three generations for men to discover how frail and untrustworthy they are, their lives. And so they did one thing with that realization, and that is they start to call upon Jehovah, the name of Jehovah. I think in Hebrew, Yahweh, they start to call on Yahweh. They just call on that name. Let me just say something here. Both in the Old and in the New Testament, that means in Hebrew and in Greek, this word call, all both have this meaning of calling out, even crying out, meaning audibly, meaning even loudly. It is not a whisper. It is not a mumbling. It is not saying this under your breath. No, it is an absolute crying out. That's the real meaning. That is the meaning. I'm going to say something more about that. Job is the second person. Maybe not second, I should say. These are just selective. But there's Job. You know, Job is, he's in the days of Abraham. He was an ancient guy, okay? So he said, Job 12:4, in the first verse is Genesis 4:26. Job 12:4, he said, I have called out to God, and he answers me. You know, man calls out to a divine being. It is in the human tradition, or the human religious tradition, to identify a name as the essence of its being. Do you follow me? So it's not just a name, you know. You got a name. That name, when man invoked a name of a deity, and there are these false gods, and they do the same thing. When they invoke the name of a deity, it's not just a name anymore. They are identifying that name with the essence of that being, that deity. So when you call on the Lord, on Jehovah, you are invoking not only a name, a mere name, just some name, you're invoking a being, a person. In fact, the essence of that person with the view of gaining or experiencing his presence and all the benefits that comes from his presence. Do you follow me? His goodness, his help, his comfort, his strengthening, and in the case of a frail man, his protection. Am I right? So that's what you do. All right. So Job did that. Abraham, our common father of faith, repeatedly says when he moved from here to there, he pitched his tent, built an altar, which is his standard practice, and call upon the name of Jehovah. Not just build a tent to stay in, not just build an altar to offer sacrifices. He has a particular practice in those old days, and he call upon the name of Yahweh. Now, how did he call? I do not know. I know he called audibly. I know he called loudly. Isaac, his son, built an altar. This is Abraham is Genesis 12:8. Isaac is 26:25. He built an altar there and called upon the name of Jehovah and pitched his tent there. So it's a tradition handed down from the godly saints. 5, Moses and all the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 4:7. I love this verse. I absolutely love this verse. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as Jehovah our God is whenever we call upon him? Isn't that a wonderful verse? And sometime I like to read this hoping that nation will be the U.S. of A. I know it's not, but I hope it is. Any nation greater than this, Israel, that they have a God so near as the real God Jehovah, so near whenever we call upon him. That means whenever the Israelites invoke that name, God is near. God is near to them. What a country is this? You can substitute that with family. For what great family is there that a God is so near when they call upon him? You just replace that. There's nothing greater than this. Let's make America great again, huh? By calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. That's a blessed nation. It's not people making more money. It's not everyone getting insurance. It's this. I really mean it. Any nation would do this. It's a great nation. And then Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4:10, it says, Jabez, call on God of Israel. So on and so forth. This is 1 Chronicles 4:10. And God calls what he has requested to come to pass. Frequently in the Old Testament, the people didn't make requests to God. They have needs. But they're always, often, associated or accompanied by their calling on God. This is not a new funny practice. Samson, the judge, and he said he was very thirsty and he asked for drink. It says he called on Jehovah. You know, such a powerful guy. He got thirsty, and the only thing he knew to do was call on Jehovah. That's Judges 15:18. Samuel the prophet, Psalm 99:6. And Samuel was among those who called on his name, along with Moses and Aaron. They called out to Jehovah, and he answered them. There's something about making requests with calling on God's name. I would say, don't make a request if you don't call. It's like, the point is not just getting an answer. The more important thing is you got him. And he will give you all the meet all your needs and give you all your answers. He wants you to want him. Not just to ask him to do something for you. That's secondary. To look for him, to find him is the main thing. David, the king, 2 Samuel 22:4, I call upon Jehovah, who is worthy of praise. David is just a caller. He, For no reason, I call. I call every day. He just called. It's just his habit. He's just a caller. In 1 Corinthians 21:26, after he built an altar there, he called on Jehovah. He went right back to Abraham. Build an altar and just call. And just call. Dear saints, whenever you build an altar, that means, you know what is an altar? Altar is a place of fellowship. A place where you fellowship with God. And that fellowship requires a sacrifice. And today, our living sacrifice is Jesus Christ. Am I right? He's our avenue, our channel, our access to God. Now, whenever we, and the altar also means a place of consecration, a place you offer yourself again and again. So whether it's fellowship, whether it is access, whether it is your consecration, it must be accompanied by much calling on the Lord. Really. Psalm 116:13, David say, I will take, very famous, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Jehovah. He's obviously not talking about a physical cup of some water. He's talking about a spiritual cup filled with God's salvation. And he take that cup by calling. So this proves that calling on Jehovah is drinking salvation. The psalmist Asaph in Psalm 80:18. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. A sign of revival, a lot of calling. When the church is reviving, or when the Lord is reviving your church, there's a sign there. The sign is the saints are just calling. And then another psalmist called Herman, Psalm 88:9. My eyes waste away at the affliction. I have called out to you, O Jehovah, every day. I have spread out my hands to you. This is a person who's not just calling, he's calling in this way. He's calling with his whole being. It's not a little saying a name. I mean, his whole person got involved, and he called out to Jehovah on a daily basis, every day. And that should be. That should be normal among us. Some of our calling has degraded to the point of it's hardly audible. That means there's not much exercise. And it's not with your whole being. It's just kind of mumbling a name. And so that's why our calling has diminished over time. It's not the way it should be. Elijah, the prophet, 1 Kings 18:24, he said, you, challenging those pagan prophets, you call the name of your God. I will call on the name of Jehovah. Let's see what happens. And then Elisha, his successor, 2 Kings 5:11, it says he called on the name of Jehovah his God in curing a leper. Isaiah the prophet, 12:4, and you will say in that day, give thanks to Jehovah, call upon his name. Make his deeds known among the peoples. Remind them that his name is exalted. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, isn't Jesus the exalted name?
Amen.
The name above every name?
Amen.
that at this name every knee shall bow,
Amen.
And every tongue will confess,
Amen.
That He is Lord.
Amen.
Now, our job is to remind the nations that that name is exalted, and we do so by calling on it.
Amen.
I would not call on an unworthy name. I call on a worthy name.
Amen.
And I'm doing this, Lord Jesus, reminding me, reminding people around me, reminding the angels, reminding the demons, reminding the evil spirits that this name is exalted.
Amen.
That is not a small thing. Because this world is trashing this name. Grinding this name under their feet. We exalt this name. We do so by calling on Him. Okay, Jeremiah in Lamentations 3. Isaiah is Isaiah 12:4. Jeremiah, Lamentations 3, 55 and 57. I call upon your name, O Jehovah, from the lowest pit. There's pit time, right? We all have some pit times. You drew near in that day, in the day that I call upon you. You said, do not fear. How often, brothers and sisters, you have that experience? You know, you're in the airplane and suddenly turbulence. Do you get scared? I do. I got scared. What do you do when you get scared? I start seeing people next to me doing this. And some others, if they could, they will curl up in a lotus position to do whatever they want to do. For me, in my heart, Lord Jesus. Jonah, the one who got swallowed by a big fish. You know, when the fish was, when they were troubled and the ship captain said, hey, there must be something wrong. Arise, call on your God. Perhaps God will save us, something like this. And he did. So calling on the Lord in the Old Testament is a common practice. It's a traditional practice. And then there's even prophecies by these Old Testament prophets. Joel, for example, in 2:32, he says, everyone is prophesying, and everyone who calls on the name of Jehovah shall be saved. He's predicting, even this is quoted in by the apostles in Pentecost, and surely that will be the case when the Lord comes back again. The Jews will be calling on Jehovah for salvation. Zephaniah 3:9. For I will change the languages of the people into a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Jehovah to serve him with one accord. Zechariah 13:9. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, Jehovah is my God. I tell you, brothers and sisters, this matter of calling is a great thing. It's the topmost Christian practice there is. And you tell me, what can be greater than this? Now, in the New Testament, Peter's first message, quoting the Old Testament in Acts 2:21, it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Stephen, he was being stoned. He was dying. And they stoned Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. How wonderful to be martyred with his name on your lips. To die, to breathe your last breath, breathing his dear name. If we don't live like that, how would we die like that? The sign of Christ's believers towards the unbelievers in Acts 9, you know, their practice in the early church, 9:14 and 21 in Acts. Saul, to bind those who call upon the name of Jesus. He was the one who ravaged those who call upon this name in Jerusalem. Paul, in Acts 22:16, Ananias came to him and he said, "Rise up and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Calling on his name." Saul, don't forget, you don't just get baptized when you are rising up from the water. You better call on the name, because you were the one who persecuted those people who call. Now it's a sign that your repentance is real, your conversion is genuine. You better rise up and do that. Join the persecuted. Jesus. And Paul, from that day on, became a caller. Then in his words, in his epistles, he would talk about calling on the name of the Lord to the saints. Case one, Romans 10, the famous two verses 12 and 13. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13, "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, these two verses, I feel, need recovery. It should be local church verses front and center. In the old days, this is it. We live by these two verses. I mean, we live in the reality of these verses. To enjoy the riches of the Lord and enjoy his present salvation. Then he spoke to the saints in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1:2. He said, "To the church which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus and called saints, with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, who is theirs and ours." And this is an important verse, because I gave you another sheet called "What Christ Is to the Believers in His Person," 50 points. All right? Don't open it. You have it with you. That's the Christ who is theirs and ours. And the way to partake of this Christ and enjoy his riches is by calling on his name. 1 Corinthians 12:3. I referred to this in the first session. "No one speaking in the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." So, calling on the Lord is not just, "Oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus." When you say Jesus is Lord, that's calling. By the way, a proper amen is calling. Do you know his name is called the Amen? So when you say amen, you're calling on the Lord. Amen. And Paul has his exhortation finally in the famous verse 2 Timothy 2:22. "Flee youthful lust, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." This is against a backdrop of degradation. Join, band with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Now, what is the purpose of our calling on the Lord? Why do we call? Well, let's take a look. Number one, very important, is to be saved. Whoever call on the Lord will be saved. The saints, don't you need to be saved? Huh? Right? From ourselves, from our sins, from our flesh, from our soul life, from from our difficulties, from our environment, yeah? From our weaknesses. Are so many things. We need to be saved every moment. And there's a way to be saved every moment. That's to call on the name. Really, brothers and sisters. And so we have to call every minute. It's hardly a requirement. It is a necessity just to be saved. And how much we have experienced the Lord's present and instant salvation whenever we call that name. There's no quicker saving way. It's not even prayer. It's not even prayer. It's call. And I'm going to say something. There's a difference between calling and praying. I'm not emphasizing praying here. I'm emphasizing calling here. Another thing is to be rescued from distress. Clearly. Out of my distress, I call upon Jehovah. Psalm 118:5. And he set me in a broad place. I have experienced this. I experience this a lot. I just know what happened, and I just feel very depressed. I'm in a distressed state. Or I just heard some bad news. You know what I mean? Something tragic. Whatever it may be, I call upon Jehovah. To be rescued from trouble. Don't you need this? Psalm 81:7. You call in trouble, and I deliver you. I answer you from a secret place. And then another point is to be rescued from trouble and pain. Don't we have that? Physical pain, psychological pain, all kinds of human pain in life. Call on the name of the Lord, and He will deliver. And He will encompass us. To participate in the Lord's mercy. In Psalm 86:5. O Lord, you're good, and you're ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. And then another thing, I like this, to delight oneself in the Lord. You know, just just get happy. Job 27:10. Does he take delight in the Almighty? Will he call upon God at all times? There's a way to be happy. I feel so bad these days. This country in many states. I just came back from the Midwest in Ohio. There's an epidemic of opiate. Addiction. People dying from overdose. I mean, this is not some man on the street, and you know what I mean. These are decent, professional people. People of high, you know, proper people. Husband and wives. Just addicted on these. Artificial heroin. You know that? Heroin that is produced artificially. But 80 times, sometimes 500 times more powerful than that. And so they overdose. Mothers who die from overdose leaving a bunch of kids at home. This is our nation. That's Ohio. In another state, in many states, it's meth. And other kinds of drugs. There's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of unhappiness. There's a lot of reasons to be depressed. This election plunged the whole nation into months of depression. And you look about around us in the world, there's really not too many things that is encouraging. Am I right? Dear saints, where do we find delight? Where do we find true joy? Where do we find real happiness? Only in God. And we are here to delight ourselves in God by calling upon God at all times. It really works. You're depressed? Call on the Lord. You're in a melancholy state? Call on the Lord. And I don't mean you should be jumping up and down and sending everyone the smiley face and in your texts. I don't mean that. I mean a real finding the fountain of joy. Amen. To delight yourself. There's nothing in this world that is delightful anymore. And not even yourself, you know. There's only one. That is the Lord. Amen. He's the only reason for joy and happiness. Amen. But He's so close. He's so there. If we would just call upon Him. Why don't we do that? Not only outside, but even in the church life, I see way too many long faces. Saints. But they look like they are perennially depressed. Like it's a bad choice they made to come into the church life. I don't understand it. I mean, I go through life. I have pain. I have, you know what I mean. I've got problems. But we also have the Lord.
Amen.
And we have this thing called calling.
Amen.
Why don't we call? Why are we the same like the people out there? Perpetually unhappy, you know? In the old days, in the church life, we have facial pain because we smile so much. I'm not making this up, brothers and sisters. And those were not that much better days. I was in the Vietnam War era. It was crazy days. There was bad stuff going on. Cold War. But, brothers and sisters, it's possible. You know, the first fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love. The second is joy. Don't tell me you've got the Spirit when you're unhappy. In Acts, it says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. These two are almost synonymous. When you're filled in Spirit, you are just what? In Ephesians 5, you are just, overflowing with psalms and hymns. You're singing with grace in your hearts. You are just one happy person in Christ. Dear saints, the way is to call. Is really to call aloud. Okay, to partake of the Lord's salvation, I don't need to repeat this. Psalm 116, 13. I'll take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Now, another thing is to breathe Him. Why do we call? To breathe. To get a fresh breath. So Lamentation 3, 55, 56, I will call on your name, O Jehovah, from the lowest pit. I mean, even the prophet got into the pit. You have heard my voice. Don't hide your ear at my breathing, at my cry. Now, this means I would ask you all, don't preserve your face so much. Don't even preserve your dignity so much at the cost of the enjoyment of God. It's not worth it. So just cry out. Cry out at home in front of your children. They say, Mommy, what's going on? You say, Mommy is enjoying God right now. Mommy needs God right now because you're the problem, right? God is that practical. God is that daily. God is so moment by moment. Don't think God doesn't understand. We need the Lord, and we can breathe Him, cry out to Him. Now, another thing is to drink from the fountain of God's salvation. I go back to Isaiah 12. Therefore, will you draw water with rejoicing from the wells of salvation? You say in that day, give thanks to Jehovah, call on His name. Make His deeds known among the people. Remind them that His name is exalted. So this is a wonderful passage. I hope we can sing this. Isn't there a song on this? Yeah. Salvation, and in that day shall we say, praise the Lord. Therefore with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall we say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among God's people. That His name is exalted. Cry out and shout out His name to the faith of Zion. Is the Holy One of Israel in the midst. Now, dear saints, don't just wait once in a blue moon to call that song and sing it. I would adjure you to do that every day. Okay, that's why I make this laminate so you can go into your shower and sing and read and cry out and praise the Lord. So often I'm in the shower, I don't know it's the water from the water district or the water from my tear ducts. It's all a mess. I'm quite happy about it. Calling, singing, shouting, and just, I'm a mess. I'm just a big, pretty mess. Mingle with God. Brothers, this is how it should be. We lost that. We're all good, orderly, fundamental brothers. I hate that. Too many gentlemen. We need more crazy people here. Down with a gentlemanly church life. Up with a happy one. Everyone delighting in God. Drop the forms. When you come to the meeting, don't sit there and wait. You're happy, am I right? You start singing. You start shouting. Even nobody is here. Some angels are here. At least Jesus is, well, maybe Jesus not yet, because it needs at least two. So with two of you there, the Lord is there. Amen. As the third man, okay? Amen. Call on His name. Just no need to wait for elders to come. No need for people to say, let's begin. No need. All right. To drink the spiritual water and eat the spiritual food. Ho! Isaiah 55, 1 and 6. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You don't have the money, just still come. Buy and eat. I don't know how you buy without money, but somehow it happens. Get your wine, get your milk. No, get your... Do it without price. Seek Jehovah while He can be found. Call upon Him while He is near. You know, there's something when it talks about calling on the Lord, this idea of his nearness is emphasized. His nearness. His proximity. It's not like, hey, oh God, a miles away. No. Whenever you call, he is near. Even in your mouth and in your heart. Amen. So just call. And oftentimes, it is, you're in the library, you cannot really sound it out. Lord Jesus. I tell you, at that time, a whisper works. So near. He's so near. Enjoy the riches of the Lord, Romans 10:12. Of course, he's rich to all who call upon him. It is wonderful. And then another one, to enjoy the nearness of the Lord, Psalm 145:18. Jehovah is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth, in sincerity. You know, what it takes to call on the Lord is just a sincere heart. You know, nothing fake. You just be real. You just, with a sincere heart, call on the Lord, and he will be there. Then another point is stir up ourselves to take hold of the Lord. You know, there's no, Isaiah 64:7. There's no one who calls upon your name who stirs up himself to lay hold of you. I love this verse. I got to know this verse when I came to the church. No one, the prophet, is bemoaning. No one. Where are the callers? This is Israel. But where are the callers? Who stirs himself up to lay hold of you. There's something about stirring yourself up. You know, you're kind of half dead. Stir yourself up. You come to the meeting kind of cold. Stir yourself up and stir each other up. And there's no better way to stir by calling. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You start feeling it. Am I right? Lord Jesus. You get warmer. Really, really, stir up yourself to lay hold of God. Amen. Calling is our laying hold of God. Amen. He loves it. And then lastly, to receive the Spirit in Acts 2. He said, in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, etc. And it is in that day that those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, how do we call? How do we call? I must move quickly. Number one, 2 Timothy 2, out of a pure heart. Out of a pure heart. Dear saints, you know, when you call on the Lord, you're not after anything. You're just after him. That's a pure heart. A pure heart that is after God and God alone. Number two, with a pure lip. Because you're using your lips. So, dear saints, let's make sure our lips is not unclean. Let's not use our lips to say bad things. Let's not use our lips to curse. Let's not use our lips on evil things, on unprofitable speech, on idle words. Let's preserve our lips for naming that name. And number three, how do we call? With an open mouth. Psalm 181, 7 and 10. You open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And before that it says, you called in trouble and I deliver you. Open your mouth and I will fill it with an open mouth. The wider the better, open your mouth. Dear saints, don't care for your face so much. You know, I go to some meetings, the leading brothers, district brothers, sit there. Dear brothers, wonderful brothers, don't take me wrong. Everything is arranged. Who is give the first word? Who give the last word? Who give the announcement? Everything is very orderly prepared. The only problem is they just sit there. No spirit. Brothers, what is this? What kind of leading brother is this? The leading brother should be the most living one. The most joyous one. The most contagious one. The most infectious one. With the spirit. Open mouth. Give up all these orderly things. I don't mean we shouldn't be orderly. But just to be funny and do some crazy things. But we need a lot more joy. We need a lot more spirit. We need more livingness. We need more vitality. We need more unpredictability. We need less program. Oh, we need a change in our meetings, brothers and sisters. Really? Don't deny it. We got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. Really? We have descended into a very orderly, local church style. We all know what's going to happen. I'm not advocating craziness just to be crazy. But I tell you, we have fallen. We have fallen. The New Testament church does not meet that way. Okay, let me go on. Corporately. How do we call? Corporately. With those who call on the Lord. Don't call alone. It's better, much better to call with a few. And this afternoon in the first session, I'm going to ask a brother to give his testimony from a church here, how they call corporately and what they experienced. And so let me say a word to the saints who are watching by live stream. Come back after your lunch. I have to say it in Chinese. 你们吃饭之后要回来啊? I just told them you have to come back. Because many are listening are Chinese saints. Okay, call upon the Lord daily, Psalm 88:9. I have called out to you, O Jehovah, every day. Amen. And then finally, listen to this. We have to call on the Lord, how? As long as we live. Amen. Psalm 116:2, therefore I will call upon him all my days, as long as I live. I'm a caller. Now, I'd like to say something because I have not have many minutes left. I'd like to make a point how that calling is not the same as praying. It can be. Definitely. But I want to make calling special. Even different from praying. Because I find these days many brothers, many saints actually became great prayers. They are good prayers. I cannot say this for years ago, decades ago. Now, many saints can pray a good prayer. But let me tell you, that is not a substitute of calling. Even a good prayer cannot substitute a good call. And I want to accentuate this. I'm talking about calling on the Lord's name. Not saying this, asking for that. I like to see the churches practice calling. The leading brothers come together to call. Not to pray. Pray will come. But call. In Jeremiah 29:12, it says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, showing there's a difference. There's a difference between calling and praying. We're still praying, but we lost the calling. I wouldn't say we totally lost it, but It's not like as before. The calling, may I say, is to cry, to call, to utter a loud sound, to call out, to call upon, to call on someone like help for assistance, for aid, or to invoke. That's calling. It's different from a good prayer. Nothing wrong with good prayer, but this is different. This is another kind of exercise. And for the exercise of the Spirit, nothing beats the calling. And may I say, these days, the lack that we are suffering, the church life, is the exercise of our mingled spirit. If our exercise in the churches, the exercise of the Spirit, will go up a few notches, let me tell you, all our church life will go up a few notches. And that's something that can be done if we exercise in a deliberate way. I pray for a recovery, a rediscovery, and a revival in the calling on the Lord. Amen. And saints, you're in this training. Let it start with you. You say, we're just a small number. I tell you, that's how things, spiritual move of the Lord begins, by a few. You don't need to go back and tell people to do this and do that. You start doing it. Amen. The leading brothers start with you. Don't say, we're leading brothers. We're not young people that go around calling on the Lord. What? You graduated from breathing? You're dead. Leading brothers, you're dead. That's what happened to you. And so your church is also dead like you. I'm serious. We may be even full of truth, but we're not living. You say, Minoru Chan, you don't care for truth. I care for truth more than you. I study. And I like to help all the saints. This next weekend, I'm going to Virginia Beach. I'm going to repeat those four messages that I gave in Redwood, the one with these working saints or whatever, last October, on how to handle the Word of God. Amen. Four things. Number one, read the Bible. Read the Word. Number two, pray the Word. Number three, study the Word. Number four, speak the Word. Don't think I don't care for the truth. I care for the truth very much. The week after that, we'll be having our iteral. And I have to give two messages. On Christ and his heavenly ministry. Brothers and sisters, don't think that way. All right? Don't say, he is just for activity. He's just for some shouting. He's just for some craziness, liveliness. You got me wrong, all right? You read me wrong. Dear saints, this comes with a deep burden out of a lot of observation. I will tell you, the Lord's recovery today needs life and spirit. Amen. To impact our daily living. All the way down to our marriages, our home, our children, with our neighbors, and in our church meeting life, service life, and in our preaching of the gospel and caring for people, every aspect, we need life and spirit. And I'm saying calling on the Lord is the highest way to touch life, to touch the spirit. But you have to do it intensely. You have to do it frequently. And for many of us ODs, we need to do it in a fresh way. The Hebrew word is kwara, for call. It means cry with a loud voice. Cry with a loud voice. You know, like these lepers in the Old Testament, unclean, unclean. You know that? They're supposed to do that. That's the word. That's the word. Not unclean, I mean that call, that crying out is that word. So it's vocal. It's even quite loud. I'm not here to challenge you to raise your decibels and lose your voice, but there's something about calling out loud to God, to the Lord, with a sincere heart. Okay. And then, of course, what we read in, you know, about Isaiah, right? Drawing water from the well of salvation, giving thanks to the Lord, call on his name, and then it continues, all the way to verse 6, sing to him, Jehovah, cry out, and even give a ringing shout. Do you see the picture mentally? What these people are doing, these people of God in the Old Testament, when they're in the right situation, they're doing all these things. They're thanking, they are calling, they are singing, they are crying out, they're shouting. I miss that. We used to have so much of that normally. And for a long time, this has diminished. And if I feel this way, can you imagine how the Lord feels? He say, where are the praises? Where is someone shouting? When is the last time? Who is crying out to me? Who is singing psalms to me? Who is praising me? Okay, dear saints, I think pretty good enough. Brothers and sisters, calling on the name of the Lord is potent. It's, let me say this, weighty. It's not a frivolous little practice for new believers. It is a weighty practice and a potent practice. But it all depends on how we practice it, with intensity, with sincerity. Now, I don't have the time, but I just make reference to you to this sheet on calling on the Lord, the name of the Lord, okay? And because of time, I better stop here. The food is ready. We'll come back and say something more. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. This is a perfecting, so you have to do it. I don't mean just today. I mean, hereafter. Amen. Hereafter. Amen. All the local churches. I like when I come and visit you, you will greet me with a ringing shout. Amen. And not a long face. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.